had a lesson on prayer, ready to go, but my wife told me something I hadn't heard on the way here, and that is that the Supreme Court just ruled God irrelevant. And so it's come down now that it is unconstitutional to limit marriage to one man and one woman. Did we get the email? Did that work? Okay. I've got a lot of scripture I just wanted to share with you. Here's the thing. On the day when they say we are using hate speech, I would like to give you the scripture and I'd like for you to see it. Now, the thing that everybody remembers is what God said to Israel in the administration of Israel, that when they became a nation, this is what they were going to do. Now, let me just say this. We are not a Christian nation in the sense that Israel was a nation of God. God didn't tell us to make a nation. He didn't give us our laws. He didn't give us, you know, they were them. We are us. It's a different thing. So we can see what God, what his purpose was, but these are not our laws. Leviticus 20, 10 to 21. We got that? Okay. I have 10 to 21 because I wanted to show you that he doesn't single out homosexuality. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Well, that's common, you know, run-of-the-mill adultery. And the penalty was death. The man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death, for they have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, this is homosexuality, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast, and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of the people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. They don't get killed, they're banished. If a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister or of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. I guess that means they're not able to marry anyone. And if a man take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing, he hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall die childless. Now, I took that entire section, do you see at the back to 10 up at the top? No, took that out. Okay, the little paragraph sign there, that's the beginning of a paragraph in the scriptures. So this is an entire paragraph. So I wanted to show you in the context that God does say that people who practice homosexuality, by the way, there's no such thing as genetically a homosexual. That is, it's just a matter of choice. So we'll talk more about that, but this is the person who chooses to do this as any of these others choose to do that. Anyway, that's the point, that God did not focus on one thing and say, these are the bad guys, we're going to get them. Any sexual sin. To put it another way, there's only one positive sexual activity. and that is between a husband and a wife. See, that's the positive. Everything else is wrong. Now, he said that they would be put to death because he was the king of their country. He is not the king of this country, so we don't ask for, we don't aim for, we don't seek the death of these people. Now, well, that was the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Romans chapter 1, 19 to 32. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Gentile church in Rome, says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," in mankind. It's made clear to them. "For God hath showed it unto them." How did he do that? "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world." This is not talking about the time. This is talking about what he created. "From what he created, these invisible things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." The examination of creation says this speaks of the Creator. And this is what you can get from that: his eternal power and his Godhead, that there's somebody at the top and he's very, very powerful. "So they are without excuse, because that when they knew God," because in the beginning Adam and Eve knew God, at the beginning Noah and his family knew God, everybody that came, everybody alive today came from somebody who knew God. "When they knew God, they glorified him not as God," somewhere along the line, "neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." This is where you say, "I have a philosophy differing from God, and I'm so wise," you see. He says, that makes you a fool. This is what the Supreme Court did today. "And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man," and then it goes on down to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts." And let me say this. The moving factor of ruling against and philosophizing against the restrictions of God is the lust of the heart. They want to break his restrictions. We were preaching about this Sunday. Want to break his restrictions. "Don't tell me what to do. I want to do this. I want to do this. Don't tell me that it's wrong." This is why they then find some reason not to believe God. So he says, "You want that? I give it to you. You are now given over to that, to dishonor their own bodies between them, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Because there's, when you start on that path, there's no end to that. You take the one step, there's the next step, and the next step, and the next step. You see, the next step, as God was talking about in Leviticus, if it doesn't matter with whom you have sex, then the next thing is marrying the animals. Having a sexual relationship with the animals.
There was a guy in Britain who recently married a dolphin.
There you go. "So he gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet," which was suitable. There are always consequences for this. There are venereal diseases. There are just all kinds of problems that come with misusing the human body in this way. "And so they receive in themselves the recompense of the error. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind And here's the definition of the reprobate mind: to do those things which are not convenient, to act foolishly, see, to live life contrary to the way people can live their life, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, not willing to be changed, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. He's referring back to Leviticus 20. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this is that perversity of spirit that we see in the homosexual community today. To rejoice in it and urge people and mock others. Now, I said there's no such thing as genetic homosexuality. Let me qualify that by what Jesus said in Matthew 19, 10 through 12. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. He just told them that divorce is out, that marriage is forever. They said, wow, better not get married. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs. Now, technically, a eunuch was a child whose male organs were removed, and this for various reasons. They do this in the animal world to let all of the growth energy in a, like a bull, go into building up his big muscles and so on. And this was also done to boys who were then trained to be big bodyguards of the king's harem, for instance. So he was a eunuch. He posed no sexual threat to the king's wives, but he was big and strong and able to defend them. So a eunuch, that's the technical term of a eunuch. Now he says, there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, that's what we were talking about, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. This is like the Apostle Paul saying that he won't get married. He would urge people that are single to stay single, because you can dedicate all of your time to serving the Lord. That's making yourself a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. But he says not everybody can receive this. Now, let's go back to what he said about people that are born this way. There seems to be this, that there are some who are born without a natural sexual inclination to the opposite sex. Now, the people that I have heard of that are homosexual don't seem to fit into this category. These are not people who don't want sexual relations. These are people that want it with men, women, everybody. So this doesn't seem to fit them. But I am saying this: it is possible for you genetically to be born without a natural sexual desire. See? So it's quite possible for that to happen. This is not the same thing. In other words, a man not wanting relations with a woman. That's not the same thing as wanting relations with a man. You see the difference? This is the lack of a desire, not the giving of a wrong desire. Well, is it wrong? Paul said it was wrong in Romans. He said it was foolish, vain imagination, giving up to the lust of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, the apostle writes again a list of life-dominating sins. And he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, while the kingdom of God is the millennial kingdom, all people who are saved do inherit it. So another way of saying what he's saying is that here is a list of the unrighteous who are not saved, no matter what they say. And here's the list. Be not deceived. And he always says that when we're most likely to be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, and notice the next two, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now let me just pause to say these are sort of the technical terms of the two kinds of male homosexuals. The effeminate is the one who receives the woman's side of things, and the abuser of themselves with mankind is the male aggressor side of homosexuality. And these are the terms. In the Greek, it's the technical terms for these two sides of the things. He goes on, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, none of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me look at thief for a minute. Thieves. He doesn't say anybody who steals can't be saved. But he says a person who is a thief, he has given himself to the practice of that sin. See? Then he says that person shows himself has no power over sin, therefore he's not saved. Who is this man? He is a thief. Who is this man? He's not a person who got drunk once. He's a drunkard. That's his life. That's his lifestyle. See? So, this is what this is, a list of life-dominating sins. What it says concerning homosexuality is they're lost. They are not saved. However, there have been some who have gone so far as to say that they can't be saved. But look at verse 11. Paul says to the Greek Corinthian church, "And such were some of you." What? Well, some about all of this. Most of them were idolaters, certainly. Adultery, fornication. They had temples dedicated to they had 1,000 prostitutes. You go in and worship your God by having sex with a prostitute. "And such were some of you. But you got saved. But ye are washed, but you are sanctified, made holy. You are justified, proclaimed righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So we find that even these homosexuals who were not born this way but have become this way can be saved. And he says, thank God, some of you were like this and you got saved. You can change. You can be washed. You can be made holy. And you can be justified by God. Now, let me close with the giving of the scripture by Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I want you to see the two words that are tied together here, and that is love and sinner. We are so far from being Israel that we do not seek to put to death all of those practicing sinners. Our goal in the church is just the opposite. Out of love for the sinner, which we have learned from God the Father, we seek their redemption. We seek their betterment. We seek their salvation. So the implied thing of the Supreme Court is anyone who doesn't agree with our decision is hateful. shows a complete lack of understanding of the truth. That's like saying anybody who says people with leprosy and cancer, we have to say they're okay. If you say that they're sick, then it's hate speech. No. We say we have a cure and you are sick. If you admit you're sick, you can take the cure. There's a way out of this. There are a lot of homosexuals that wish they could be out of this, but they have been taught that that's just how they are. Brother Jeb was telling me about what he found out about how men homosexuals are developed. It's this attitude that there's such a thing as a homosexual person, or that there's a gay gene or something. There are men, and I count myself among them, because I was an only child for 3 years, and I stayed at home with my mother, and they were telling me that they were a little worried about me one time when, for Christmas, I wanted a little tea set, you know. And the idea, you know, I was with my mother, and she had her plates and dishes. I wanted to have that, too, and they gave it to me. There are some men, and I've never been a raw sports guy, you know, I've never been a rev up my hot rod car guy. It just wasn't that interesting to me. So all that was needed for somebody like that, who kind of goes along the gentler way of life, is for someone to come sidling up to him one day and say, hey, it's all right. You don't have to feel bad about these guys that tell you you're a wimp. You see, I understand what you are. What I am? What are you talking about? Well, you're gay. See, this is the way you are. You can't help yourself. This is who you are. This is how you were made. What do you mean gay? And then they go into it and they explain it. And they recruit them into active homosexuality on the basis that they're a gentle man.
Would you mind if I shared testimony of some of the cases that
were sure. Come up here, please.
This is a reality, a real situation that's happening. I've worked in a couple of different situations, with this. And what's really sad is, what happens is, there have become a crude, I deny the very concept of a homosexual, that they are a kind of person. There is no such thing. There just are men who choose to have sex with men, and women who choose to have sex with women. There's no such thing as a homosexual. And by that I mean, recently I was reading an article just before Pope Ratzinger retired. Some guy wrote an article about why they thought he was a homosexual. And they were talking about the fact that he was a very fastidious dresser, very fashion conscious. And they were talking about, you know, like, man, you can see far off, he's gay. And I've seen that repeatedly in sitcoms and other things, that people accrue all these non-sexual behaviors to a sense of sexuality. And we think as men in America, because of our traditional American view, that there's nothing wrong with our saying, hey, stop acting like a sissy. You know, you're not supposed to like flowers. You're not supposed to be into fashion. You know, there's something wrong with you. And we don't realize the horrible thing we're doing. God does not condemn men liking fashion. God does not condemn men liking flowers. God does not condemn men being more emotionally sensitive. But we do. We tell them there's something wrong with them. And you know what happens? They get to this point where repeatedly We're the ones doing it. We're the ones. Not just the homosexuals. We're the ones. We're saying, you're a queer. You're a faggot. I had that accusation. I've never been a girl chaser. I was never the super, you know, into the super macho stuff, into the cars. I am more emotionally sensitive. You can ask Heidi. I cry at the movies. Not her. I was accused of being a homosexual. And what happens is, I've seen case after case where what happens is, you have a young man who's starting to feel conflicted because he tries to fake it. He tries to act more macho. He tries to act traditionally masculine. But what he finds is, that's just not who I am. And one day somebody comes to him and they reach out to him and they say to him, hey man, it's okay. I like you just the way you are. And they befriend them and they give them love. Mark this down. People will bear anything for love. And if you don't believe it, then explain why children sexually abused by their parents won't turn them in. And wives beat near to death by their husbands won't turn them in. People will endure anything to be loved. And so what happens is, these young men, they get these other guys that are like them, that accept them for who they are, and they tell them, I care about you. I love you. And you know what? I think you're gay. And so they, for the sake of love, for the sake of acceptance, you don't... Sorry.
Tell the story of the couple that you were talking about there.
Right. It was so sad because I was sharing this story with this couple in Washington. They have a homosexual son. And the dad started weeping. They looked at each other, you know, and I was like, what? And they said, we know exactly who you're talking about. We know who that was in our son's life. And he looked at me with heartbreak, and he said, I'm the one who did that to him. I'm, you know, not recruiting the homosexuality. He said, but I was the guy telling them there was something wrong with him because he wasn't macho, because he liked fashion. And he liked the gentler things. Scott Kays asked me for my help. He said that a friend of his had a son who had come out and said he was a homosexual. And I said, talk to me about it. I said, tell me. And what it came out was, he liked flowers. He liked the gentler things. And I told Scott what I just told you. And I said, tell him that the buzz-haired football-playing guys don't get to define masculinity. Only God does. And there's nothing wrong with flowers, liking flowers, nothing wrong with liking fashion, nothing wrong with being gentler, and it has nothing to do with being homosexual. And it's even okay to look at another man and say, dang, he's handsome. There's no sin in appreciating masculine beauty. If you say you don't do that, you are a liar. It is built in us that everything we look at, we make an automatic assessment. Is it nice to look at or isn't it? Now, as guys were taught to say, he looks cool. He looks, you know, GQ. But what we're saying is, hey, he's a handsome guy. I like the way he looks. But this is what is happening in America. I find...
On the other side, would you share, you mentioned about just as that is usually the cause for male homosexuality,
yeah,
females. Share that with us as well.
I have found in working with homosexuals that for the men, there's two basic reasons that men become homosexuals. The main one is what I just shared. They didn't feel like they were male. They didn't feel like they were traditionally masculine. And so they got recruited or lured away to homosexuality. The second reason is the guy just follows perversion. It's just another thing to try. That also, I mean, that's why you got guys turning to homosexuality in prison. They're just perverts. With women, it's two main reasons, but it's two different reasons. I kept my sister from going into homosexuality. She came to me. She thought she was homosexual. She came to me, and she was talking about it. And I said, I'm illustrating her because she's one of the two main reasons. My sister had suffered abuse at the hands of many men. And I told her, I do not know, that is so weird. I do that with my sister and my wife. I mix up their names because there are similarities in the way they look and things like that, but and the way they are. But I told my sister, I said, Chandra, I said, this isn't what's going on. I said, one, there's nothing wrong with having an emotional bond with another woman. Nothing wrong with a man having an emotional bond with another man. Jesus and John, Paul and Nathan? No.
David and Jonathan.
David and Jonathan, Jesus and John. There's nothing wrong with it, and it's natural. It occurs. I said, one, there's nothing wrong with you having deep emotional feelings for another woman. That's not wrong. The Bible doesn't condemn that anywhere. In fact, it commands you to love other people. Two, there's nothing wrong with appreciating female beauty, even if you're a woman. There's nothing wrong with that. God made beautiful things in the world. Nothing wrong with looking at it and saying, hey, that's beautiful. I said, I just want to get that out there because if that's part of it, I don't want you to confuse the two issues. But I told her, I said, what you're doing is, I said, you want that human connection. It's natural. I said, but you have suffered repeatedly at the hands of men. So you are turning from men and turning your attention to women because you don't feel safe with women, you know, with men. And I told her very bluntly, I said, the problem is, it's not that men are wicked, you know, any more wicked than women. I said, it's the kind of men that you've been reaching out to. I said, you have a responsibility in this. But to get down to it is, a lot of your women who become homosexuals because they have been hurt repeatedly by men. And no human being is okay without a human connection. So one, so they're wanting two things. They want a human connection, and they have a natural, God-given sexual appetite. And they want to express both. And because they no longer feel safe with men, they turn to women. A second common one, and you'll see this a lot, and you even hear people talk about it. I saw this horrible thing. It said the lesbian fantasy, and it showed two beautiful women kissing. And it said the lesbian reality, and it showed two really ugly women kissing. People mock that, and they talk about it, but I have a relative who turned to homosexuality, a female relative turned to homosexuality, and my mother asked her, she said, why? Why did you do this? And she was very honest, she said very bluntly, she said, men aren't interested. Once again, the two driving desires, a human connection and the desire to express themselves sexually. And they can't find somebody. But maybe they find a woman who's willing. And they turn to them instead. I've seen this again and again and again. And like I've said, I'm not lying to you. I have helped people turn from homosexuality by helping them understand the truth. It just makes me so mad that people, that we allow them to say that being a homosexual is an actual thing. That liking fashion has something to do with sexuality.
I find it just as ridiculous the other side, the macho man thing. What's a real man? A guy who drinks a certain amount of beer.
Right.
I mean, what does that got to do with manhood?
Only God says, you know, only God gets to determine what being a man and being a woman is. So what I always do when I deal with these people is I cut down to it. I said, God doesn't say it's wrong for you to love another man. God doesn't say it's wrong for you to like flowers. God doesn't say it's wrong for you to be gentle or have a fashion consciousness or be more emotionally sensitive. None of these things are condemned by God. God simply says, don't have sex with men. Just like he tells everybody, don't have sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage. So, Pastor Weigel and I were just talking yesterday about the fact that, was it yesterday? The fact that we allow these people so many things as a given that we ought to challenge them on. And this is one of those, that being gay is actually, that there's such a thing as being gay. Because they accrue so much nonsense to it that has nothing to do with this. The issue is how God says to properly express your behavior. Now, there's another issue. And this is the hard part. Anybody who has gotten into a practice over a very long period of time is going to have a lot harder time getting away from that. Whether you're talking about alcohol or drugs or any kind of yielding to sin. The Bible says very simply that sin binds. And what's sad is that these guys have taught themselves. They're not born that way. I hear people saying, six-year-old's gay. The six-year-old doesn't have a sexual awareness. You can't tell, you know what they're talking about when they talk about a gay six-year-old? They're talking about a gay six-year-old who's very emotional or very sensitive or maybe he's very touchy-feely. Maybe he likes to hug. Their body hasn't started producing the sexual hormones yet. But sadly, what happens is that they start to teach themselves to respond sexually to other men. And sadly, the longer they're in it, the more binding that becomes. Recently, the organization Exodus has backed off and said that they were wrong, that they're teaching people how to not be a homosexual. I don't think that's possible. I don't think that's actually possible. You see, if you're talking about a person who's been in the practice of sodomy, you know, having sex with other men, here's the thing, they're dead. You can't reform a dead person. If your approach is to try to take a dead person and try to make them act like a living person, you're wasting your time. What they need to do is, okay, how did I overcome wrath? In my flesh, I'm still that way. You look at me as the, I've heard people call me, you know, Winnie the Pooh and stuff like that. And they think, you know, some think they're insulting me. I actually like that because I remember the way I used to be. I remember charging across a crowded classroom and striking a guy repeatedly while he was in his seat because he smirked at me. I remember my father telling my brother, one day Jeb's going to kill someone or someone's going to kill Jeb. And I was only 14 years old. How did I overcome that? I didn't. I didn't. It's still there. If I were to operate in my flesh, it would still be an issue. It's still corrupt, it's still dead, it still wants what it wants. The key for these people is not trying to reform them into something else, but to tell them, you're dead, and you need to die with Christ and have a new man created in you, not a reform of who you were, but a new man created. There's only one answer for the practicing homosexual: salvation and walking in the new nature. Walking in the new nature of Christ. He has to leave that behind. If he tries to reform it, he will fail.
We open this up if somebody's heard things or wants to ask a question about it, anything, or bring up something you've learned about this.
I'm getting preachy, so go ahead.
This is the day when we ought to orient our thinking correctly. We're not demanding that these people die. We're hoping that we can get them saved. So, any comments, any questions? Yes, Ethan? No.
Also, we ought not to be... If you do deal with a homosexual that has accepted Christ, and they come to you and they're honest enough to tell you, say, hey, I succumbed, maybe through fantasy or through actual act. Look, you need to have the humility to be honest with them and say, hey, look, I may not have the same sin problems you do, but I've got sin problems, and I at times have given in to them. Let's get back up. Let's talk about where you stepped away from walking in the Spirit. Figure out where you made that choice. Let's get you walking back in the Spirit. Don't beat yourself up about this. Yeah, it was wrong. But understand that what you did was you were walking in the flesh. Now we need to get you back walking in the Spirit. And that's the only way you're going to have victory. Anybody have questions? Anybody concerns, comments, or anything? My great fear now is that they're really pushing it in the schools now. Go ahead.
Well, there's just so many gay organizations that got so much political power now that's accepted. I mean, but they have pushed us so much in everything, politics, in schools, even in our churches.
Well, it's even turning something of a fad almost. There's a constant stream of articles of people, you know, young people coming out and saying, hey, I think I'm gay. What I do is when people tell me that, I say, why? What is it that makes you think you're gay? And they're like, well, I just feel this real tender affection and desire, you know, towards this person. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's normal. It happens. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't think it has so much to do with the gay agenda. The whole thrust is to find an issue for which they can take down Christianity. They're using this. If you watch how they're rigging it up, anybody that doesn't agree with the homosexual agenda is involved in
we also, you know, if you were paying attention to Romans chapter 1, if you watched how it read, how it progressed, homosexuality, we shouldn't be surprised that we see a burgeoning explosion of homosexuality in our country. We're there. We're at that point in Romans where he says, so I gave them over. God didn't create that in them. Basically, I heard a preacher one time say this, and I thought this was, you know, I found this to be rather true. He said, if you demand loud enough and long enough, God's going to give you what you want. And so God didn't create that in them. He gave them over to it. It was already there. He was, you know, resisting it with his Holy Spirit, but this is what they wanted by their choices, and so he took his hands off. We ought not to see this as cruelty on God's part, but rather one of the benefits of this is that, you know, if I had not seen the horrible consequences of my own evil choices, I would not have been saved. I would not have turned to Christ in desperation for freedom if sin didn't seem as bad as it was to me. So God doesn't want sin in the world, but if people are rebelling against him, one of the things he uses is he says, okay, I'm going to let you do what you want to do so that you can see what happens because of it. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we see this. Rather, it's just an outworking of where our country has been moving for a very long time. Thank you, Pastor.
Application of this, I think, gives us a tremendous advantage and understanding. We can actually deal with these people, actually help them, and, as we saw from Romans 5:8, show the love of God. When he loved us, we weren't the wonderful, beautiful people that we see ourselves as today. We were the sinners, and even while we were sinners, he commended his love to us, dying for us while we were sinners. And if God can love the sinner and offer them the opportunity to change, so should we.